Throughout our history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
Morning, Rob.
Good morning.
How's it going?
I'm very well. I just got a text from Lauren saying you're going to be talking about purring cats.
Purring cats. The most soothing sound ever.
It's very specific.
I think that should be almost, that's almost like a white noise sound, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a
little
bit.
Maybe Rick should record the cat and just keep
it going.
I don't think it's the white noise sound for me.
No. Okay.
You know how we talked about that?
Yes.
It's not the same one for me.
Okay.
But what are we talking about this morning?
First off, someone's asked me to talk about this a couple of times, and I will do next year. It's called the Antikythera mechanism.
Blimey, what's that?
Sounds
full on.
Earlier this year, I would have talked about it, but my head's full up with stuff. I can't get any more in my brain. Like, words are coming out of my nose and ears.
It is that time of the year, very much.
And too many wheelbarrow words, just can't do it. But I will do it next year. But I'm going to be talking about catnip today.
Oh, lovely.
For all the cat lovers in the
world. I see now why you said Rick should keep Willa around for this segment. There we go.
Right, now, do you know what about catnip? You obviously all know about it. I've seen the stuff on YouTube, just scary. Looks like they've been at Glastonbury for a month.
I just don't know if it's, like, cruel to the animal or not.
I think they seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
How does it work?
Well,
what is it?
Okay, when a cat eats catnip, it actually acts as a sedative.
Okay.
And it's really, really good. But when they smell it, as you know, they just become hyperactive, rub their heads and bodies on the herb, or they'll jump around, vocalise, salivate.
It's
just
quite
like
intense.
A normal Friday night for me, really. But, you know, you get that living in South Auckland. Anyway, the response lasts for about 10 minutes, and then the cat becomes temporarily immune, and the effects roughly go for 30 minutes. Now, response to catnip is hereditary, and it's 70 to 80% of cats exhibit this behaviour in the plant's presence.
Oh, so some of them don't. Some of them are not affected by it. Right.
In addition, catnip doesn't affect kittens.
Yeah, I did know that.
So
until
you grow
about
into
6 months old and become sexually mature. It's all down to that.
Oh, so is it a sexual thing for the cats?
I think what it does is it actually... It does all these things. I've got all these wheelbarrow words.
Do you want to just read it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just read it, I think.
Right. Catnip plants is the Nepeta cataria, and other Nepeta species are members of the mint family.
They sound
and
like Doctor Who monsters.
Volatile oils, sterols, acids, and tannins.
The mint family.
It's the mint family.
The mint, the herb.
Yeah. It looks like mint. If you've seen it, it kind of looks a little bit like something between sage and mint. Yeah.
So how does catnip work, I hear you ask? See, I actually wrote that down. Well, Nepetalacton, one of the catnip's volatile oils, enters the cat's navel tissue, where it is believed to bind to protein receptors to stimulate sensory neurons.
Blimey.
It's very, very complicated.
I love how you were like, I'm not going to do this one topic because there's too many words.
I know. I
can't cope with it this year.
But,
and now you're here talking about
nipples. This only lasts for a little bit.
What
it does is it really mucks the cat up, basically.
Got it.
So when you say it mucks it up, is that sort of negative for the cat?
Well, as you're saying, have you given catnip to your cat?
Yeah.
Has it enjoyed it?
Well.
So you're a cat, like, drug pusher almost in a way.
Hang on, Rob.
Well, what do you think about it?
I put the catnip down. You can buy these catnip toys.
Okay.
Right?
Like, they're like little shapes of little mice and stuff like that.
They're mice and stuff. Yeah. And I personally didn't buy it. My flatmate did buy it for our cat.
That sounds like you didn't quite approve of
it. And then
it's
not like I shoved it down its throat or anything. I just left it.
Yeah, do you want to try this?
Yeah.
It's really, really good, cat. It won't affect you in any way. It essentially reacts as an artificial cat pheromone.
Okay.
Is what
so
it
it's
basically
like,
does.
Right. It's,
and as our brains are psychologically different to cats, we don't react the same way. Bit of a bummer, really.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
But it also acts as an infant colic. We can actually have it. It also serves as a mild sedative in some herbal teas and is commonly recommended by herbalists to lessen migraine headaches and to relieve indigestion, insomnia, and nervousness.
I have heard about that for the insomnia and migraines before, saying catnip's a good thing.
Does it have a different name when herbalists recommend it to people? They don't say, here, have some catnip.
Catnus nippus, or probably something like that they call it.
Catechus nippus.
And it's also, in a herbal paste, reduces swelling. Which is associated with arthritis and soft tissue injury.
It's kind of like arnica or something. Then. Yeah. That's quite cool.
But I feel like cats, can't be that bad
all
for cats,
cats apart from tigers.
So tigers don't care?
Tigers don't
I didn't think
react
about the
it.
Big cats.
Apparently hunters used to use it in Africa, because it comes from Africa and Europe.
Right.
They used to tie it up in trees. And when the lions come along, they go, oh, I have some of that. That wallet.
Wow.
Wallet.
Wallet. I saw wallop like appear in my brain, like in the Looney Tunes, like a word just go pew through there.
Right, now this one, I've got to go this. This is inspired by Tess.
Can I just say, before we move off catnip,
I had a summer job once where I was sort of like working in a big garden, and there were these big beds full of catnip, and I had to chop all of the catnip down one day, and so the smell of catnip is very evocative for me. But I kid you not, six cats just appeared, like they were just rolling around in it.
They must love it. They're attracted to it. Okay, I don't feel so. For a second there, I was feeling it. It was extreme sense of guilt. But
such a strong smell, though. It was such a strong smell.
Isn't nature fantastic that it's done something like that for a plant that can do so many good things? Do you
there
know what
you
mean?
Go. Yeah. Exactly.
They should do some research around dosage for cats so that you can't do too much.
This is the one that inspired you. I want to paint a bit of a picture here.
I just want everyone to know that Rob's actually hiding the page with so you can't the rest of his pages so that
keeping
I can't
it
see it.
Keeping it a secret until
off
the
air,
last minute.
We have had some pretty intense intellectual conversations, wouldn't you say that?
Yep.
Last week, this is what inspired me last week. What is the most popular crisp in New Zealand?
That's a big one. It is a very big question.
Do you remember we were talking about
crisps? God's sake, salt and vinegar. Oh. Don't tell me it's that. Oh, sorry.
Well, I might as well just pack up and go home. Okay. We'll edit that bit out on the podcast.
Yeah, take it out. Sorry, Rob. It just slipped
some,
out
for
there.
Some context
I got,
here.
I got a top 10. I actually got this from Spinoff, and I did ask Alex, and he said it was okay.
Oh, there
okay,
we go.
Cool.
Churchill.
Did you ask how many... Is this a survey?
This was a survey. It was done earlier this year on the Spinoff.
Well, how many people did they interview?
12,000.
There you
That's
go.
Quite big.
That's quite a big number.
I just made that up. Just made that up. Oh, too much catnip in here. Right, anyway, do the top 10. I haven't heard of half of these. So number 10, Muncho Spicy Tomato.
Oh, those are really good.
Yeah,
number 9, Doritos Flame Grilled Barbecue.
Those are also very good.
Number 8, Proper Crisps, Cider Vinegar and Sea Salt.
Yes.
That's like proper, but that's well posh.
Yeah, I like
isn't
those.
It?
They're posh, yeah.
Oh, look, shaking around.
That's
already.
Like the $4 a bag.
Number 7, Crispy Chicken. Which apparently don't exist anymore.
Mmm.
What was it?
Controversial.
Crisper Chicken.
Crisper.
They're under $1 or something. That might be the little ones. Number 6, Copper Kettle Wood Fire Barbecue.
Yeah, yum. Those are great.
Number 5, Pringles Original.
Those
a flavour that isn't a flavour. Pure genius.
Yes, yeah,
it's so delicious.
Very true.
Number 4, Mexicano Jalapeno.
Jalapeno.
Yep. Number 3, Grain Waves Honey Mustard.
Yum. Oh, yep, classic.
Number 2, Burger Rings. Now,
what?
They're not even a crisp.
No. I definitely agree with the Burger Rings placement.
Yeah, but that's not a crisp.
It is definitely a crisp. Anyway, what is number one?
I'm going to read this. This is actually as they wrote it in the spin-off, right? There is only one packet of crisps in New Zealand that can be taken to any party, apart from Tess's, and be accepted without complaint. And apparently, they're the best crisp for kiwi onion dip. It's Bluebird Originals, salt and vinegar. Also perfect for making sandwiches.
I just think there are so many people who don't like salt and vinegar.
Well, you're the only person I've ever met.
No, I can't be. There's other people.
No, okay.
Well,
let's do a poll survey.
Quick survey, BFM listeners. Salt and vinegar chips, yes or no?
Someone stand by me,
5395. That was creds to Madeline Chapman as well, who wrote the old crisps list there.
Yeah.
Very
excellent. And Jose Barbosa, that's the coolest. This non-made-up name I've ever heard.
Just very cool.
BFM person.
Before we close this off, someone texted in saying, I'm not going to read the second part of the text, but someone said it sounds like catnips get off on catnip as humans do on ecstasy.
I wouldn't know about that.
No, neither. But for anyone who might, that's apparently what the comparison is.
I want to know what the second part is, but maybe don't read it out.
Yeah.
You're on 95 BFM.
I
thank you very much. Thank you very much for that, Ron.
Everyone's saying no to salt. Everyone's saying it's disgusting.
Well, this
Everyone's
is actually
saying no.
Doesn't
F
work.
Salt and vinegar chips, they're disgusting.
This doesn't work actually, because the only people who would be angry enough to text in are people like you, Tess, who don't like salt and vinegar.
Because
like
all the other people too busy
rest of the
cheese,
population.
No cheese and onion in there. They're the worst crisps going.
Yeah, they are pretty
No one
bad.
Likes it.
All right, thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bullocks, only on 95 BFM.
You can keep your texts rolling through, though.